I guess if you got an instrument, let's shock the hook, amen. Broke, amen. Just me, amen. I feel like I got a few broke this morning, amen. Through it all, amen. Matthew chapter number 2, amen. Thank God for good singing in the choir, good special singing. It's always good to be at church to worship the Lord. Matthew chapter number 2. Got a little thought for the kind of the month of December, amen. It's, you know, shock what the thought's about, amen. I mean, let's clear the air a little bit. I understand, as a Bible student, a little bit about Jeremiah chapter 10 of the worship of trees. I understand a little bit about the history behind Santa Claus and the deception and the imposter, amen, to take away the glory away from Jesus Christ. I understand the paganism of Christmas in that sense where people worship the sun and the moon instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. But knowing all that, it does not take away from me the joy of Christmas time. I'm not in this thing blind and dark, amen, but I enjoy this time of the year. I enjoy Christmas, amen. And I believe knowing what the world has done to take away the glory away from God shouldn't allow it to zap the joy out of God's children around such a precious time of the year. Amen. Where Brother James said in Sunday school this morning, where some people are a little more sensitive around this time of the year, you maybe have some open doors to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be wise. Amen. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And go out and try to take the gospel to this world. So I want to kind of preach around that thought this coming month, if the Lord will allow us. Matthew chapter 2, look in verse number 1. Matthew 2, verse 1. The Bible said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to worship, from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. It's obviously prophesied in all through the Old Testament about the coming of the Son of God, a child being born, a son being given. Not only according to that, but according to other prophecies, they had it close to around the time when they expected him to show up. And the signs that would accompany his coming, and one of them was a star that would be seen. The Bible said in verse 5, "And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea." That was the prophecy. "For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Because according to verse number 1 and 2, these wise men had came from the east to Jerusalem because they had seen a star and they had come to worship the king. So Herod said, "What time did you see the star?" And he wanted to know privately. Verse 8 said, "And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Someone said wise men are still seeking Jesus. These wise men have came to worship the Lord. Herod has a little bit of an alternative motive. He says he wants to worship, but he really wants him to be dead. is a jeopardy to his career and his life. The Bible said in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Let us pray. Aaron, how about pray for us this morning?
Yeah, Lord, we thank you for being good to us, Lord. Thank you for being in your house again today, Lord. I pray that you just use the man of God, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Thank you for letting us be in your house again. Thank you for being good. I pray that anyone be here lost, you show them their need for salvation, dear Lord, before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. I said I like this time of the year. A lot of things I like about the Christmas season, if you want to use that term, the month of December. I like the climate. I like the weather during this time of the year. I like it to get cold, kill off so many sneaking gnats and bugs. Amen. I like it cold. Amen. I like the cheer that's in the air, the excitement, amen, that people have. Understanding that a lot of people have made it a pagan type of worship, but at the same time as God's children, we understand the deeper sense and the greater joy of the season. I like the family gatherings. I look forward to getting together with my family and maybe opening a few presents. Who don't like presents? Amen. And just eat a meal with one another and enjoy one another's company. Amen. Even if we had to do it with a number of 10 or less. Amen. God help that. Amen. I like the church gatherings. I like the excitement around the church during this time. I like the opportunity to witness. One of the things I like about Christmas is I like Christmas lights. I like Christmas lights. I mean, our neighbor, he has put up some Christmas lights. Somebody stopped by and invited him to church, amen. I think they've even inquired a little bit. I used to work with the guy. His wife had said something about him about maybe looking for a church. Maybe they'll drop in on us. But I like Christmas lights. Amen. I like sometimes even getting in the car. You ever do that and just ride around and look at Christmas lights? Families like to do that and get around. Maybe you find a street where they light up the whole street. What is that place in McCaddenville? They say you go and you can ride down, the whole town's lit up. I don't know about all that. I don't like traffic that much, but I do like lights. I like them, man. I like it. I like lights. Christmas lights. I looked up a little bit about Christmas lights. Yeah, you know where Christmas lights originated, amen? You can look at the pagan side of it, but there's in the early 1900s, before they had actual lights like we have, we take for granted today, there used to be a time, kids, when they didn't have electricity and didn't have lights, amen. They used to light Christmas trees with candles. That was the way they done it, and they found out that was a pretty big fire hazard, amen, so they didn't work out too well, but they would light it up, amen. And those lights, as in the Christian sense, would represent the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the early 1900s, you know, they got it invented, electricity, and another guy named Johnson had got together. It ain't the Johnsons we know. I don't know if the Johnsons we know could make electricity. Amen. Jeremiah, he'd probably burn something down, amen. But they said that in the early 1900s, they invented Christmas lights like we know them today. A man named Johnson and Edison had got together and they had made a Christmas tree with lights on it. They were actually red, white, and blue. Amen. Patriotism. Amen. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. But they lit up the tree. Amen. With those lights. Amen. And I want to preach to you on that thought this morning. The Christmas light. The Christmas light. Amen. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him coming to this earth, did you know that His birth was accompanied with lights? It was a company with light. It's amazing how much the Word of God has to say about the light. Amen. And I understand the world worships the light, the sun and the moon, but we're worshiping the true and living light, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not to say that He is a light per se, but amen, His image is a glowing expression of God's glory. And when you open up the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, there's something about the majesty and the glow of the book, amen, and the glow of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was born, He was accompanied by lights. I mean, take your Bible with me. You hold your place here in Matthew. We'll turn right back. But look in Luke chapter number 2. We know Luke chapter number 2, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the birth of the Lord. The God Almighty had showed up on this earth. And you know when He showed up on this earth, amen, He was accompanied with lights. The Bible said in Luke chapter number 2, in verse number 8, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These shepherds were at nighttime watching over their flock of their herd that they had been entrusted with. And the Bible said in verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the angel of the Lord, and look at this, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel of the Lord showed up in His glory. And with His glory, there was an image of light that shone round about them in this dark field that they were, what these shepherds were in, watching over their flock. The glory of God, the light of God, accompanied the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day, on that day, the light shined round about the shepherds in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they said, He said, you shall find the babe, amen. You shall find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Amen. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was accompanied with light. Hey, light had come to this old dark world. And it shone round about those shepherds in that field that night with the greatness of the glory of the angel of the Lord. Matter of fact, a year or so later, which the account we're reading in Matthew chapter number 2, which a lot of people get confused with Luke 2 and thinking it's the same time that the wise men came when the shepherds came. But the story here in Matthew chapter number 2 is probably somewhere around a year later when they're not going to see a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, but they're going to see what the Bible calls a young child. And you know what accompanied him a year later that showed up to these wise men? It was a star in the sky. And that star was shining bright, amen. That brightness which was representing the brightness of God Almighty. And that star, the Bible said in verse number 2 that they had saw when they were in the east and they came into worship, amen. The Bible said in verse number 7 that Herod privately called and inquired of them what time the star did appear. When did they see the brightness? When did they see the glory? In verse number 9, and when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. This is a moving star that is directing them to the young child Jesus. Probably about a year old at this time. In verse number 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It was the glory of that star that was shining, amen, up in the sky that was leading them to the young child Jesus. And these wise men knew something about that star. Hey man, the Bible says in about that star, these wise men were looking for a star because Balaam had prophesied about a star in Numbers chapter number 24 in verse number 17. In his prophetic statement, amen, he spoke about a star that would come with a scepter. In Daniel chapter number 9, when Daniel was prophesied about the 70 weeks of Daniel, it was according to the prophecy of the Old Testament that a wise man could look in the Word of God and say, when the Lord comes, and when he's born, there's going to be a star that directs them to that young child. And somewhere around the prophecy of Daniel, they can narrow it down about 1 or 2 years of when it was going to take place. When Messiah the Prince would show up, and the Prince of Glory had shown up, and a light had accompanied his birth. The star is leading them. The light is leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. This star is not a normal star. It's probably more representative of one in Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter number 9. That star which represents an angel that is leading them to the way. Kind of like that glory that shone around about those shepherds in that field. The angel of the Lord had showed up. This is more like maybe Gabriel or Michael the archangel, that star that's leading them to Jesus, and that star is in the sky, which is an angel, is glorious and is bright and is shiny. How could they see it if it wasn't bright in the darkness of the night? And to see it in the daytime, it had to have a glow about it to be seen. And the star, the light, accompanied the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the ultimate light of Christmas, the Christmas light himself. Not lights, but the light. You know, this light has been always in the beginning. Look at this in John chapter number 1. It's amazing how much you cut the Word of God open and how much it glows about the light of Jesus. No matter where you turn, it's speaking about His glory and His majesty and His brightness. There's something about the brightness of God. There's something about the glory of God. It's kind of like when Jesus went up on the mountain of transfiguration and He transfigured Himself before Peter, James, and John. And they saw that glory and that majesty. It was something about that brightness. It was like Moses when he went up on the mountain to talk to the Lord to get the commandments. He came down and had to wrap a veil around his face because of the brightness of God. It penetrated his skin. That caused him to glow, that people couldn't look upon Him. Amen. There's something about the majesties of glory, the lights in heaven, the excitement. Hey, this world's caught up in the glittering lights of this world, but I should be able to run above the glory of God, Almighty God, that ought to be worshipped. Amen. There's something about the light of God. And this light was there in the beginning. John chapter number 1. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. There's no doubt who that Word is. According to verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. But the Bible said in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. There's a lot of doctrinal truths in there where God said, let us in the beginning. It was more than one. It was a triune being of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But the Bible said about that one that was the Word, in Him was life. We know that. And the life was the light of men. In the beginning there was light. The Bible said, and the light shineth into darkness. That's this whole world. That's the darkness of man's soul. And the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. We know him, John the Baptist. Verse 7 said, the same was a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. The Bible said about John, he was not that light, but the Bible said he was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Do you know that light was in the beginning? I mean, you go back to the creation, and when God created all things, in Genesis chapter number 1, you look at verse 1, in the beginning God, we know He's always been. In verse number 2, there's a darkness upon the earth. There's something that happened, something where the angels were cast down out of heaven and plummeted this earth that God had made into darkness. But the Bible says in verse number 3, and the light showed up. Amen. The light showed up to correct the darkness of this old world. You know that light is? That light is God Himself. Amen. I'm not talking about a bright image. I'm talking about God. But He's represented by that light and the majesty and the pureness of God and the holiness of God. In the beginning, the light moved upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved. God began to put light in this old dark world. And what you have after that is the 7 days of creation. 6 days, or ultimately the seventh day, God rested. And through those 7 days of literal creation of God, it represents the 7 time frames of God dealing with mankind. It's that thing He said over in the book of Peter, with one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Those 7 days of creation represent 7,000 years of God dealing with mankind. We know that seventh day is that day of rest, which is the millennial reign that is yet to come. And as far as we know, amen, we've been here those 6,000 years waiting on that seventh. We're at the brink of the coming of the Lord. I'm not trying to prophesy the time of the Lord's coming, but man, it's just ultimately clear where we're at and the age we're living in. But it's amazing to me that that light was there in the beginning, just like it said in John chapter number 1. But the Bible said on the fourth day, God made a sun to rule the day and a moon to rule the night. And through the prophetic pictures of the 7 day creation, on that fourth day, which is 4,000 years, which is the time when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, the light came into this world, the Son of Righteousness, the Holy One, and the moon, which represents the body of Christ, which got birthed at His coming. Boy, it's amazing how God put it together, amen. And for 2,000 years, the light's been trying to shine into this dark world through the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to reflect that glory as the moon represents the church. The light was in the beginning. But you know, it'll always be, and it will ultimately turn around and end up that way again. You listen to this verse, Revelation chapter number 21. You read the end of all things. If you want to turn there, you can. But if I beat you there, I'm just going to read it. Revelation 21 and verse 23, the Bible says, "And the city had no need of the sun." That's the S-U-N. "Neither of the moon shining it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." You know, God's going to make this thing. There's going to be no need for a sun again, no need for a moon, because the glory of God that was in the beginning is going to light this world once again. Amen. Light accompanied His birth. The light was in the beginning, amen. Hey, the light was ultimately brought to this world in the Lord Jesus Christ to lighten up this dark world. Well, we live in a dark world, don't we? Hey, look at some verses with me. Look at Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4. He brought light to this dark world. The light of the world, amen, showed up one day. Amen. That glory shone right about at His birth to make the announcement. At that star led a year later them wise men to worship Him. Amen. That light that had always been had showed up in this old world. Why did He come? He came to bring light to a dark world. This is a dark world we're living in. I mean, the more this thing goes on, the scene, the darker it gets out there, amen. And if there ever is a time this whole world needs to see a light, it needs to see it today. When Jesus Christ came, why did He come? He came to bring light to a dark world. Look in Matthew chapter number 4. Look in verse number 16. The Bible said the people. This is a prophetic statement here by Isaiah. "And the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions of shadow of death, light is sprung up." The light has showed up to this world, amen. Hey, look in Luke chapter number 2 again with me. I'm talking about a light that came to a dark world. When Simon was standing there in Luke chapter number 2 after the birth of Jesus, and after he'd been circumcised in chapter 2 of Luke, amen, they go over to Simon, amen, this ruler of the temple there, a devout man, a man full of the Holy Ghost. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Ghost in verse 26 that he should not see death till he had seen the Lord's Christ. Look at verse 27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus," 8-9 days old at this time after the circumcision here, "the Bible said to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said," look what he says here, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Look at verse 32. "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." I'm talking about the Christmas light, the light that came to a dark world. In John, look in John with me. Just say, run some verses with me. I'm talking about what the Bible says about the light that came in this world. It came to bring light to a dark world. In John chapter 8 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Amen. Hey, you remember when you were walking in the darkness of this old world, but the light showed up in your soul, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to direct your path in a dark world. He came to bring light to a dark world. You're talking about a Christmas light. Look in John chapter 9 and verse number 5. The Bible said, "As long as I'm in the world," He said, "I'm the light of the world." He came to bring light to the Gentiles and the glory of His salvation. John chapter 12, look at verse number 35. "Hey, so much, I don't care where you cut it, the glory just shines out of it, man." Hey, something about the light of God's Word and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 12 and 35, "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You know what God knew? This world didn't know how to go. They didn't know what direction to turn. The Pharisees and Sadducees had made it some kind of a religious type activities and doing of things. And God saw the darkness of this old world. And one day he brought the glory of God down to earth. The Son of God, the light, to bring light to a dark world. Because God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't want to see him wandering around in darkness no more. So he sent the light to the world, amen, and put a light down in our souls. Verse number 36 says, he said, while you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Verse 46, he goes on to say, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. What a Christmas light. He brought light to a dark world, amen. Do you know what the problem is? The darkness hates the light. I mean, here's the light that showed up. Look in John chapter number 3 where we get the glorious passages about the Lord dying for the sins of mankind. And the light showing up to this world. But you know what the world did to the light? They nailed it to a tree. What they tried to do, they tried to put out the light. They tried to put out the light of the Son of God in this whole world. You know why the world hates the light? Because it reveals the field. As long as you're in darkness, see, you know, that's why men do their wickedness at nighttime. Because somewhere in their subconsciousness, they feel like nobody sees. But there's nothing that passes by the light. He sees it all. Men don't like the light. Women don't like the light. Mankind themselves hates the light because the light reveals the filthiness of our state. That's what he goes on to say in John chapter number 3 after he said, for God so loved the world and that he sent his Son into the world, not that the world could be condemned, but that the world through him might be saved. Hey, look what he says in John chapter number 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Why did he send light to the world? To open their eyes in the dark state that they're in. Hey, the light is coming to the world and men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were evil. They didn't want the light. They didn't want the light to reveal their state. Amen. Hey, when you were lost without God and I was lost without God, hey, we didn't want God's light to shine out in our soul because it revealed how wicked we are. Amen. But I believe that's the reason why we don't have many professions of faith and real genuine births into the Lord, because people have never seen how dark their lives are. Amen. What you need is the Holy Ghost of God to lay down in your soul to show the wickedness of our soul that we might call out in God in repentance to be saved. But men don't like light because their deeds are evil. Last thing anybody wants somebody to do is open up the light of the Word of God and reveal in the light of the Son of God, because it condemns a filthy soul. Verse 20 said, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh he to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. Amen. Something's going to happen if you're going to stay in the light. Amen. You got to do something with the field. Verse 21 says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may manifest that they are wrought in God. This dark world hates the light because it reveals their field. Amen. You know what the devil's trying to do all your life? I know you. Maybe you'd have it. Look in 2 Corinthians 4 with me. I want you to see this. There's a lot about the gospel and what it does and how it saves a man's soul from a devil's hell. But you know what the devil's constantly tried to do all your life? Amen. When you were lost, he was constantly trying to keep you away from the light. I'm not talking about a shining image. I'm talking about the God himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, amen. The devil wanted you to continue to live in darkness. If you're lost today, the devil's doing all he can to keep you blinded from the light. That's what he says here. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. And in the God, little g, of this world. What has he done? Have blinded the minds of them that believe not. What is he trying to do? Now look at it in the context of what we're talking about this morning. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know what the devil was like to them shepherds that never saw that light? He'd like for them wise men to never go down and worship the Lord and bring those gifts down and lay down at his feet. You know what God was doing, by the way, when he was laying down those gifts down at the feet of Jesus Christ? He was taking care of the parents that was going to raise him. Boy, God knows how to take care of his own, don't he? Amen. Amen. And he done it by the light. Amen. But the devil's done all he could to try to keep us away from the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. How that Christ, the light of the world, was hung on the cross in a dark day of his life to shine the image of the glory of God down to mankind. And through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he can bring light to a dark soul. Amen. The devil would do all he can to kind of keep people away from the light of the world. You know, as a matter of fact, you think about that light. You know, when here's Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter number 9, and he's making his way down to persecute Christians. And you know what the Bible says in verse number 3? And the light shone round about him. Now, that was an actual literal light that shined round about that old boy. Probably one of those angels of God, the angel of the Lord, showing up because he began to speak to him. It was God speaking to him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? But you know what he showed up to knock him down with the horse with? It was a light. It was the glory of Almighty God. Now, God's not showing up with a beaming light on our souls today, but he is showing up with the gospel of his Son. And the gospel of his Son can shine down in your dark heart to show the wickedness of your life and cause you to repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because God's trying to bring light to a dark world that hates the light. Amen. You know what he wants to do? He wants us to shine as lights in this old world. Look in Matthew chapter number 5. I'm talking about the light, the Christmas light. Boy, I'm glad it showed up in this old world. I'm glad he came. But you know what? I'm glad I've received him as my Savior. And now the light of the gospel lives down in my soul. And you know what God wants to do to any child of God that has received the light of the Son of God in their heart? To shine back in the dark world. In Matthew chapter number 5, I know he's speaking to Israel in this Sermon on the Mount message here, but it's very practical for you and I today. The Bible said in Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." At that time, the Jewish people were the light of the world. Of course, they rejected the Son of God, and God brought in another bride, amen, the body of Christ, the church of God. And then we are now the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, the Bible said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do you know what this dark world needs today? We've already said it. This old dark world needs the light. Jesus Christ, speaking to the disciples, he said, ye are the light of the world. When I look at that passage today and I look at how it applies to my life, I realize I have received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. The light has shined into my dark soul and has saved me from a devil's hell. Amen. And now God wants me to reflect that light back to this world. Just like the fourth day of creation, he put the sun and the moon, and the moon's only light is a reflection off the sun. Amen. The sun wants to reflect on our lives to shine to this whole filthy world. But the problem is we're allowing things between the sun and the moon, and it's causing damage to our reflection of the light. God wants us to shine in a dark world. Hey, Jesus Christ said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, we know he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but that light lives inside of us, and he wants that light to shine to this whole world. Hey, this old dark world needs a Christmas light shining, amen. And God's looking for a Christian and to stand up and allow God to glorify through their lives and show the light to their world, and there's still hope for a dark world, amen. We're running around, amen, with no light or very dim. Hey, not only the world needs to see the light, hey, the house needs to see the light. The Bible said in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Do you know the lost world needs to see the light, but you know the house needs to see the light? I mean, you know, inside the house of God needs to see the light. Inside the house of the body of Christ needs to see the light. Do you know other Christians need to see a light in us? Brother was preaching this morning, teaching about compassion, amen. I mean, you want to show a light? Boy, you get compassion like God, you'll start glowing. the glory of God begin to show out of your life, and you begin to show light to the darkness of other people's lives and the despair therein. A shining light will always glorify God. That's why it says, let your light so shine before men. Young people, you know the verse. Young kids, just memorize it. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. It don't need to be hid. It needs to be put on a hilltop. It needs to be shining out bright. The world needs to see a light in this whole world. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope for your dark state. You ain't got to stay in the darkness. Amen. Hey, the light of the gospel has come, and we're to show that gospel to this world. Amen. Hey, you talking about a Christmas light shining? How is your light? Look how this applies to the church in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Christmas lights. The Christmas light is Jesus Christ, and that light is to shine through us. Amen. How's your light? Is it bright? Is anybody seeing it? Do you got any hung up? Is the devil robbing you of the joy of Christmas? Life itself? I mean, we can sit around and, you know, we can, Jeremiah 10, curse the tree and curse Santa Claus and live hateful and bitter and complaining. Or we can look at the Christmas season where we understand, amen, it ain't about a tree. It ain't about a man with a white beard and a red suit. Amen. It's not about the lights that are shining on our houses, but it's about the light of the Son of God. Maybe he didn't show up December the 25th. I would say he didn't either. Amen. But the fact of the world is acknowledging the fact that the Son of God, that light, is coming to this world. We can use it to shine the light to a dark world that they might find hope in Jesus Christ. There's ever been a time our world need hope. We're living in it, man. We are here for such a time as this. Is your light shining? Philippians 2 and 12 and 13, look at this. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Look, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But you know what God did when he saved your soul? He worked in you. You know what showed up down in your old dark soul? The light of God. Peace, joy. Amen. Some sight to be able to see what's going on. Hey, the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us has moved inside of our souls. And the Word of God in written paper, amen, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light has showed up in our soul. And now that the light has been worked in us by God in verse number 13, in verse number 12, we're to work out that light. We're to take away things that is shading the light and is restricting the brightness of the glory of God in our souls. Hey, we got to work it out. The world don't see what happened inside. They see what's on the outside. And we need to let the glory of God shine on the outside of our lives. Hey, they're not seeing it through our bickering and complaining and murmuring and hatefulness, but they can see it through the love and compassion of God and the outreach of the Savior, amen, and the light of this whole world. Hey, we're the only Jesus this world's going to see. We're to shine bright. We're to work out the salvation that's on the inside to the outside. We're to allow God to have his way in our lives. Hey, you know what dims the light? Look what he goes on to say in verse 12, 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Look, verse 15, that ye may be blameless. What do you say get away with? The murmuring and disputings, the bickering and the fighting and the poor mouthing, the complaining. You know what that does? I'm going to show you what it does in relationship to what I'm preaching about this morning. Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And look at this. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You're talking about Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that it may glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know how it's going to shine? You know how it's going to be bright? It's going to be through the communication of our mouths. We get away with the murmuring and the disputings and the fightings and the grumbling and the complaining. All that's doing is dimming the light that's inside of us that wants to shine bright in a crooked and dark world. Amen. How is your light? Is it dim or is it bright? You say, preacher, how can I tell? You can tell by what's coming out of your mouth. Are people seeing wicked darkness or are they seeing the light of God? By verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that light, Psalms 119:105, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let me ask you a question. Do you have the light of God in your soul? Have you received God's gospel message that the devil has tried to keep you blinded from? Whom the God of this world that blinded the minds and that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Have you believed on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You said, preacher, I have. Let me ask you another question then. How bright are you shining?
Amen.
Is your Christmas lights on? Are they seeing the light of God in your life and in my life? When people ride by your spiritual house, do they say, check out them lights? If they wanted to get in the car and go down the street and find a good light show, would they want to come by your house? Because they knew the lights were bright and the glory of God was shining. Or would they ever never think your way? This world needs to see the light. It's in darkness. And if there's ever a time to put up the Christmas lights in our lives, it is the hour we're living in. Let your light so shine. Let the world see the brightness of Jesus through your life. Because He is ultimately the Christmas light. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Sister, if you'd come play us a little something on the piano. Maybe God has spoken to your heart somewhere, some fashion. Thank God for the light of Jesus Christ that shined in my soul. May He shine through my life and through yours as we live for Him. May our lives, through the way we handle our lives and the way we speak and the places we go and the things we do, reflect the bright light of Jesus Christ to this old world. Thank God for the light of Jesus Christ.